Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We resume our study today on sound doctrine as communicated from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, his son in the ministry, specifically looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 5 as we look to conclude this study. We've already looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3 in order to get a better understanding of the context in which this is communicated, and that being sound doctrine, what the concerns were that Paul communicated to Timothy and the charge that he actually gives Timothy. So we looked at the fact that Paul went on the record and charging Timothy and his charge for Timothy to preach the word. And that's what it means in chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And this is from the King James translation, and that was 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. But again, the context is better understood and truly in the fullness of the letter that Paul wrote, which we refer to as 2 Timothy, but more specifically with regard to what we studied, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3 as sort of the background in understanding a little more the context in which this concern about sound doctrine is communicated from Paul to Timothy. So we focus primarily on the scriptures in relation to the man of God, and that would be the word of God in relation to the man of God. So the fact that Paul communicates in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17 that all scripture is given by God, but by inspiration of God, that is, it is God breathed, it is the word of God from God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For what purpose? That the man of God may be perfect, that is, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is, you have all that you need to accomplish all that God has called you to do. And that's, again, what we want to continue to emphasize as it relates to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is not sound doctrine if it's your own crafting of your philosophy that you're communicating to the people of God in his name. And, you know, just because you use his name doesn't mean that you're communicating his truth. And as I have stated before, you know, we have to be mindful of the tools that we use and the end that we have in mind in relation to the tool that we're using. So if you want a worldly, immature, shallow church, then, you know, put your teaching in line with that, and that's what you'll get. But if you want a strong people of God committed to the word of God and therefore committed to God himself, then you've got to use the word of God. There's no replacement. There's no shortcut. And that brings us to this very charge that Paul gives. And again, Paul goes on the record in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the accountability part for the man of God, for the pastor, preacher, teacher. This is the accountability part. Paul goes on the record in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly I don't intend to exhaust this again, but I do intend to remind you of how important this is. And that is, Paul goes on the record in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, "Preach the word," and he communicates that to the man of God. So remember our accountability to God and the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to the word of God, how we handle it. And we've already talked about from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where Paul also says, study to show thyself approved unto who? Unto God, not to the people who want to dictate what you preach and how you preach and when you preach and where you preach. No, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. That means that there's work involved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So again, if you have the right tool, then use the right tool, but don't just use the right tool, but use the right tool for the right purpose. And that's where we get into rightly dividing the word of truth. Use the tool correctly. So use the scripture correctly for the purpose for which God has provided it. And what purpose is that? We saw it again back in verse 16, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, beneficial, advantageous for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. There we go. So you're furnished. You're equipped. You do not lack what you need to do the work that God has called you to do. Every good work that God has called you to, he has equipped you for it as a pastor, a preacher, a teacher of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given you his word, the scriptures that are inspired by God, or the scripture altogether that is given by God's inspiration, his breath. God breathed. Once again, we cannot emphasize that enough. So the charge, what Paul goes on the record in communicating to Timothy, is again to preach the word, proclaim the word, be instant in season, out of season. Again, be present, be accounted for, present and accounted for. Okay, in the presence of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you owe this to. Okay, our faithfulness is to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else is a byproduct of that. How we treat the people of God. They don't belong to you. They belong to God. Stop saying my people. Stop saying my church. This is God's flock. Paul reminds us of that in the book of Acts when he speaks to the elders at Ephesus. He says, you know, he speaks of the flock of God. Peter does the same thing, the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made you the overseer. And Peter reminds us of the chief shepherd. And we've got to recognize that we are servants and we are called to this work by God. And we use the tool that God has given us for the good of his people, not your people, his people. And that should make you all the more aware and alert and more responsible as it relates to what we do, what we preach, how we teach. This in season, out of season has to do again with whether it's opportune or inopportune, whether it's acceptable, whether the people are accepting or whether they are rejecting. You know, we still have the responsibility to keep preaching. Check Isaiah out. Check out some of the prophets. I think what confuses us so often in our time is this rock star status and this prima donna, reputation that we see in preaching. You know, this presence of preachers and pastors now that where we're not spectacles to the world, but we are, you know, on the highest level of, you know, when it comes to how people view us, you know, we're like Hollywood stars and superstar athletes. We're rock stars, man. And that doesn't say much to us as it relates to our credibility with God, because God warns us of that in his word. You know, he tells us to beware when everybody speaks well of us. So perhaps we should check and see if we're actually preaching the word or whether we're entertaining the masses. And I would argue that it's much more of the latter than the former. So he tells us to do this, that is preach the word. He being Paul, he speaks specifically to Timothy to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And this is, again, just a reminder that Paul speaks to what is included in preaching this word. First is being present in season and out of season. So always be present. And then reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. You know, the comfort comes with the reproving and the rebuking. That correction and that conviction also is accompanied by exhortation or encouragement, comfort, and consolation. And we have to make sure that we understand. I worked with troubled youth before, and one of the things that we learn when it comes to redirecting them, and you know, we talk about verbal de-escalation techniques and all of these things. And this is not psychobabble, but it's just something that you can apply in any context, and is really revealed in the Word of God more than any place else. So one of the things that it speaks to in relation to dealing with troubled youth is reestablishing rapport. And that's something that we should understand. When we talk about preaching the word and we talk about reproving and rebuking, we also have to make sure that there's a balance in terms of comfort and consolation and encouragement. And, it, you know, a lot of it is reestablishing rapport and letting people know that this is not personal. That this is, it's personal only in a sense that we are trying to help you. You know, so in that sense, it is personal, because this has to do with each individual and that individual's walk with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But how that individual walk impacts the corporate worship and the unity of the flock of God, the church of God, the people of God, one and the same. So it's all of that to say, it's important to make sure that we don't communicate the scripture in such a way that we make it sound like we are attacking somebody, even though it's going to be perceived that way for sure. But we have to do it in the right spirit, and that includes exhorting them or encouraging, consoling, and comforting, but always according to the truth of God's word. Always according to the truth of God's word. So he says that we are to do this with all long suffering and doctrine, which again we talked about, but just a reminder that this long suffering is patience, it is perseverance. It is not only the way that we approach teaching and preaching and leading the people of God, but it also has to do with how we really look at our role as pastors and preachers and teachers with regard to perseverance. So it's the patience that we must have with others, but it's also the fortitude that we must have within ourselves that's not relying on us, but it's relying on the power of God. Going back again to what Paul communicated to Timothy earlier, that is, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So this is these are the ingredients that go, or the mindset that goes with the long suffering. We're patient because God has given us the power and the tool, that is his word, for the work. And so that's why we're patient, because we trust in the tool and we trust in the God who gave it. You know, so we trust in the provision and the provider. And this has to do, again, with all scripture and being thoroughly furnished and using what God has given us to do the work that he's called us to. And that's how we can be. That's why we can be patient and also have fortitude or perseverance, because our instruction, it says, with long suffering and doctrine, that is with patience and teaching, patience and instruction. So our fortitude, our perseverance, our patience or long suffering with those who we teach, then we have that because we know the power of God's word, and we stay the course with what he's given us, and we trust his word. That's what it's about. We trust God and his word. So that's what brings us to the third verse here, where Paul says Okay, so why is this so important? He says, here we go, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's why you have to be patient. That's why you have to have fortitude or perseverance. That's why you have to stay the course with the teaching. You have to stay the course with this. You have to reprove and rebuke and comfort. You have to be instant or present and in attendance, in season and out of season. Why? Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That is, this, when he says the time will come in verse 3, he's speaking again of where he says in season, out of season. Why in season and out of season? Because the season will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So that's why he uses the word in season, out of season. This word where he says the time will come, this is also communicated as the season. The season will come when they will not endure this. And what do? Do you give up and say, well, they're not listening anyway? Well, tell that to Isaiah. Tell that to Jeremiah. You know, tell that to the prophets who were persecuted and killed. Tell it to Jesus. So, you know, we have to understand that this is why we have the charge. This is why Paul gives this charge to Timothy. This is why he goes on the record. I'm telling you, in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to be faithful to proclaiming his word regardless of the circumstances. So the time is going to come. The season is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching. You say, well, I don't have that problem. Now, listen. If you're teaching truth, you're going to have that problem. That's inevitable. The time will come. Not the time might come. The time will come. So you're going to have that problem. Part of the reason, or the primary reason why we don't see much of this time that Paul says will come when he communicates to Timothy, is because we're not teaching sound doctrine. We're teaching bubble gum, powder puff, fluff, everything but the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean we're not using it. That just means we're not teaching it. That's why it says in 2 Timothy again, chapter 2, verse 15, what does it say? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Well, when are you going to be ashamed? You may not be ashamed now, but when you have to answer to him, as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, here in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm giving you this charge in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not calling it, calling Timothy's attention to that just because. He's saying, no, you're accountable to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we're looking at how we handle the word of God, the scripture, he says, rightly dividing the word of truth in 2 Timothy 2:15. So just because you're using it doesn't mean that you're studying it, and it doesn't mean that you are rightly dividing it. So this is where we are with them not enduring sound doctrine. Maybe you don't have that problem because you're not teaching sound doctrine. But if you're teaching sound doctrine, brother, let me tell you, if I can say it this way, for show, you are going to have some sorting out that you don't have to do. The word of God is doing the sorting out. You don't have to qualify the house. The word of God will qualify the house. That's how God deals with those who are his and those who are not, according to the truth of his word, not Guy Thompson's opinion, not the opinion of the pastor or the preacher teacher. But we are accountable. We are accountable. And we're reminded of this also in Hebrews. It says we must give an account for the souls of those over whom God has made us through his spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the overseer. And that's so important to recognize the magnitude of accountability. So if you're trying to be the popular guy, if you're trying to be the pastor who's going to keep giving this bubble gum and candy, sugar, softener, sweetener sermons and teaching and Bible lessons that are Bible lessons, but they're not biblical lessons. So you're using the Bible, but it's not according to the truth of the word. Then you're going to be accountable, and we're going to be accountable one way or other. But it would be best to be on the right side of that accountability with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is coming. That season is coming. And that's why we have to be instant or present in and out of season, because the season is coming where they will not hold up to sound doctrine. You understand that? They will not bear. They will not put up with it. You ever heard somebody say, I'm not putting up with that anymore? Or I ain't putting up with that no more. You know, you hear that, and that's what it means as it relates to sound doctrine here. They're not going to put up with it. They're not going to stand with it. They're not going to hold up. They're going to quit on sound doctrine. They can't. They just give up. You know, they can't stand it. And so many people, speaking of this new word, we want a new word. Well, how about the old one? It's still standing the test of time. Where are you going to get a new word from? And you say from the word. Well, the word, you're not looking for a new word. You're looking for something that maybe you don't understand that's still in the same word that we've been using for years gone by. So I discourage you from looking for a new word. And I encourage you to rely on an old one, if you will. Because it's still good and it stands the test of time. And the scripture reminds us that forever, the word of the Lord is settled in heaven. So we're good. We're good. And this scripture has thoroughly equipped the man of God for the work of God. And I think we're good with that. Can I get an amen? All right. So we'll move on where it talks about the sound doctrine, the sound teaching. They will not endure the sound teaching, and that means the uncorrupt. Well, you tell somebody, well, this is good for you, and they say, well, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. You say, it's good for you. I don't want it. And that's what we have now, people saying, I know what the Bible says, but I don't believe that anymore. So many people have given up on the word of God, but you know, when it becomes most critical is when the preacher gives up on the word of God. That's when we have a major problem. It's not new for people to give up on the word of God. But when the preacher gives up on the word of God, when the prophet gives up on the word of God, when the one who claims to speak for God gives up on the word of God, then we have a major, major problem. And he says, goes on in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, where he says, but after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And there are a few translations in with regard to this. The New American Standard says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. So, you know, it's communicated in a couple of ways as it relates to the itching ears or ears that they want to have tickled. But either way, what you get out of this translation, either way, is you get the problem is what they do not want to hear and what they do want to hear instead. Okay, so this has to do more with the hearing, as it were, than the physical ears. So the desire that is in line with their hearing, that is what they want to hear, is contrary to sound doctrine. They no longer want to hear sound doctrine. And that's the point that's being made here. So how do they respond to that? They no longer want healthy teaching. They want junk food. Are you giving God's people junk food, or are you giving them healthy teaching? And that's what sound doctrine is. It says, he says, on the contrary, What they desire or long for, they will use that opportunity to accumulate or to heap up, to hoard teachers according to what they want, okay? According to their desires and what they want to hear. So that's what we're dealing with when we talk about they will not endure sound doctrine. There's a season where their own desires will lead them to accumulate and to heap up, to hoard teachers, okay, instructors, because they have itching ears or because they want to entertain their own hearing, their own desires in hearing. And we've heard this saying, you know, if somebody has an itch, then what has to happen? It's got to be scratched, right? That means they have an interest or desire for something else. And that's why I tell you, we have to be careful of this thing. I want a new word. People are so shallow in what they communicate in relation to the word of God. They can't sit down for 5 minutes and meditate on any portion of the scripture. And then they're talking about they want a new word. I'm wondering where you're going to get this new word from. That's what I'm wondering. So in line with this, we have this saying that you may be aware of, where it talks about tickling the fancy of something, or or to tickle the fancy. What does that mean? A lot of us old schoolers know this, but it means to beguile or to fascinate, to delight, to entertain, to amuse. And amuse means to not think, by the way, to divert, to distract, to allure, to bewitch, to captivate, to magnetize, to enrapture, to mesmerize, to preoccupy. You get what's going on here? To hold the attention of that. And what I'm saying, what I'm getting to is this desire to hear something according to their own lust means that they need to be entertained and charmed and amused and delighted. And this all leads to being bewitched because you're fascinated with the outside show. You're fascinated with the superficial stuff and you have no depth. And the only way to get depth is in the word of God. But you don't want that. You want junk food. And that's what he's speaking of. They will not stand up. They can't hold up to sound doctrine. It's like they're allergic to it. They won't stand it. And that's why you have to be careful as the man of God to not give in to the people who desire and who insist that you work for them, and therefore you are to preach what they tell you to preach. And if you don't think that it's people that feel that way, then you haven't been around long enough, because it's happening in our day right now. People give and they feel like they hire you, and therefore they feel like between the money and their authority and hiring you, they feel like you work for them. And so they're supposed to tell you what to do, what to preach, what to teach, what to do. And it's unfortunate, because that's not what God has ordained in his church among his people. And he certainly hasn't ordained it for the man of God. So be a man. And more importantly, most importantly, be a man of God. So he moves on from that. And he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That is, they shall literally they should be turned away, or they should turn their backs. That is something that's perverted, right? They turn away their ears from the truth. And again, we have the issue with ears. That is, they would turn away their hearing from the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And they're going to fall off, fall away from the truth, and turn away unto fiction. Those are the tales. Those are the myths. Those are the things that are not true. And that's why you have to be, again, you've got to be careful as a man of God to make sure that you continue to be faithful in proclaiming the word of God. And then he finishes with this: but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Be sober in everything. Be watchful in everything. No sleeping on the job. Endure. So we have watch, endure, do the work, make full proof. These are all actions that you invest in. Watch in all things. That's be sober and watchful. Endure afflictions. That means to undergo hardship and stand the test of the hardship, man. Don't give up. You know, do the work of an evangelist. And that's self-explanatory. But that means one who proclaims the gospel. That's what you got to stay true to. Do the work of one who proclaims the gospel. And make full proof of thy ministry. That is, give evidence completely of what God has called you to, your service. Serve faithfully and carry it out to its completion. Don't tap out. Make full proof of your ministry. Give full evidence that you are called by God to accomplish the work that God has called you to do. Follow Jesus Christ. That's what he did. Follow his example and make sure that you're faithful in that regard. So this concludes our study on sound doctrine for the day. I hope that your heart has been blessed. I want you to be encouraged, especially for the men of God, the man of God, the pastor, preachers, and teachers. Be blessed and be encouraged in the Lord and in his word. God bless you. And remember, until the next time, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.